Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Nobody likes to have to wait. You call up customer service, you get put on hold, you have to wait. There's some sort of really bad music coming through your really bad phone speaker, and there you wait. You wait for somebody to respond. You wait for somebody to come and receive your request. Or you call up somebody on the phone or text them and you say, hey, let's get together. Let's go to lunch. Let's go do something fun. And no response. Your text just hangs out there in cyberspace somewhere. It's just hanging out there waiting for your friend to respond, and it never comes. Or it comes too late. A response would be nice, wouldn't it? Some of us, I think, know what it's like to experience a lack of response in a place where you would like someone to come and offer you good things, whether it's just a glass of water or a menu or something to eat. We all have those times in our lives when we need to get away, when we need to ignore the rest of the world, when we need to shut ourselves out. And yet, we also know that being on the other side of that ignoring time can be frustrating, can be difficult if we don't get a response from our friend or our family member or somebody that we would hope responds. This issue of responding is integral to the Bible story as well, to God's interaction with us as humanity in this world. It's a little hard for us as Lutherans to understand because we're so used to expecting that it's not about our response. It's all about God's coming into our world, coming into our lives. It's not so much about our response, and yet there is that thread through the gospel, especially, particularly in the Gospel of John, where Jesus holds out an opportunity for us to see and experience and do something different with our lives. And the question is, will we come and respond, or will we refuse that offer and go away empty-handed? Will we reject the offer that God has to bring? The miracles, especially in the Gospel of John, are not really called miracles. They're called signs. There's healing of blind people. There's walking on water. There's loaves and fishes that get multiplied out for many to receive. There's even the raising of the dead, as in the raising of Lazarus. In all of these and more, especially in John, these signs, there is not just the thing that is done, but also conversation about that thing that happens, and finally, a certain teaching from Jesus. And that is the call to respond. That teaching, that word from Jesus, word from God, that might change our lives if only we are able to respond. And the question, how will we respond? The trouble is sometimes, oftentimes, we find ourselves asleep at our desks. We find ourselves not necessarily ready and able to respond. When Nicodemus comes to Jesus, he comes as a Pharisee, as a leader, as the text says. He comes seeming to be curious. Rabbi, he calls Jesus. We know that there must be something about you because no one could do signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Nicodemus comes with this sense of curiosity, although at the same time, we are told that Nicodemus comes at night. And especially in the Gospel of John, the cover of night or the cover of darkness says to us that something is not quite right here. Something is not quite right with Nicodemus. He doesn't quite trust. He doesn't know yet if Jesus is the one that he is supposed to follow. And we find out he doesn't quite get it, does he? He doesn't quite understand. He doesn't quite allow himself to step up to that request of Jesus, to see things in a new way, to understand the double meaning of the words, and to see not only in earthly things, but especially in heavenly things, what it is that God is doing. It's not that Nicodemus ignores Jesus. It's not that he's disrespectful. It's just that Jesus is asking Nicodemus to have a positive response, and yet what we find out is that Nicodemus is not able to muster that positive response right at this time. Nicodemus makes false assumptions about what Jesus is saying, about what Jesus is doing, indeed, about who Jesus is. And Nicodemus fails to understand. And for that reason, Nicodemus leaves without answers to the questions, not that he needs to know most, but which his life depends on. Now, this is not the last time we will meet Nicodemus in this story. And so all hope is not lost for poor Nicodemus. We will see Nicodemus again, and we will experience with Nicodemus that transformation of faith that comes to him. But for now, I think this text is here before us. Because like Nicodemus, we are oftentimes overconfident, much of the time making false assumptions about ourselves, about God, about the world around us. And a lot of times we, like Nicodemus, just don't get it either. A lot of times we don't know quite how to understand what it is that Jesus is trying to teach us, what Jesus is trying to tell us. We tend to think that God is exclusive. We tend to think that God rewards the good and punishes the bad. We tend to think that God can be manipulated and bribed. And we think that, well, God really doesn't care much about what we do with our lives as long as we're generally good people. Nicodemus, his problem isn't that he doesn't have faith. It's really that he trusts too much in himself, trusts too much in what he has understood to be what is real in life. You remember last week when Eve reached for the forbidden fruit, wanting to trust in her own self more than she trusted in God. This same control seems to be a part of what our lives are as well. This sense and need to control everything around us causes us to mistreat others, to mistreat the world, to mistreat the world itself. Now, there's more to this story, and we'll hear more of this story next week as we encounter another who encounters Jesus, one who encounters Jesus not under the cover of dark, but in the light of the noonday sun, the woman at the well who experiences Jesus and is transformed in a new and spectacular way. For today, as we hang out here with Nicodemus, it's enough to know that this story and the next and all of the gospel story is really about God's abundant love, a love that knows no boundaries, a love that will finally break that darkness and shine into the world in a way that redeems us and makes us whole. For now, Jesus' gift to Nicodemus is that despite his failings, despite Nicodemus's inability to quite grasp things, regardless of waiting around for us to finally get our act together, not holding our ambivalence against us, not choosing to cast us out into outer darkness. God in Jesus is about the business of saving the world. And thanks be to God, that world includes you and me.